As I've said before, Julian Bleeker is was not able to join us today, but he has sent us a video that we're going to show in a moment. For those who do not know Julian, he is a designer and technologist at Adventure Lab and the Near Future Laboratory. His design focuses on writing, hands-on making, prop making, and design fiction. He has a PhD at the University of California, and his dissertation focuses on science, fiction, technology, and culture.
Oh, hello. My name is Julian Bleeker. I'm the founder and one of the principals of the Near Future Laboratory. I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but I'm sending this video dispatch to share with you some of our perspectives on what we call the normal, everyday, ordinary future. The normal, everyday, ordinary future is distinct from the typically bifurcated, positive, optimistic, utopic future and the negative, pessimistic, dystopic future. We developed something called TBD, which is a catalog of products from this normal, everyday, ordinary future. I'd like to share with you some of the items from the catalog and describe to you our approach and insights as we developed it. Follow me. So this is the TBD catalog. This is a very early special preview. We're still finishing up the editing of it. And there's still a lot of work to go, but we're hoping to get finished in the next few weeks. What we're trying to do is address this this notion of the everyday ordinary, trying to create a sense that there is a that there's a future, but the future isn't necessarily as spectacular as the future is traditionally seen. So the normal, everyday, ordinary future cuts right through the middle. You can think of it as more like the present, like today, only a different with a different cast of characters. And that's to say that those who end up inheriting the world after we've grown older, as our influence on things has waned, or if you want to think more morbidly, after we've left this life, they're going to be in a present that is probably very much like ours. They'll have credit cards, they'll have breakfast cereal with different claims as to its benefits. The benefits might have shifted in terms of the language or the sensibility of them. I hear it's something that's very much focused on the future of genetics or genomics. There'll still be things where people want to improve their performance, only maybe it's happening now with a sort of data analytic bent to it. Things perhaps that exist today are now sort of discounted and aren't as special as they once were. Some things become that we might find as strange to be a luxury item, like ice, might actually become so. Perhaps partially because of the changes in the state of the world ecology. For us, this might seem a bit crazy or out there, but for people in the future, it might be to us what we look at as luxury today, which might be a luxury automobile. It might be something that would be quite foreign to people in some future world. And I guess the point here is that the present really is never considered to be a future state. Of course it is in a sort of chronographic sense, but the present moment was always someone's near future. We are just right now fixated on it as the moment from which we want to evolve to be better by some measure if we're inclined to be sort of optimistic. So that's to say that the present state, where we're at now, was a future for someone 10, 20 years ago, or even, you know, as few as 5 years ago. And it might be very difficult for them to imagine the present, the moment that we're in now, as something as ordinary as we normally experience it. So we don't look at things from our vantage point now as spectacular, and that's typically because the things that we have now that anyone else might have seen as quite extraordinary has by definition become quite ordinary. It's just a thing that exists for us, and it also has the foibles that you oftentimes don't anticipate for things when you're looking into the future. So you don't always expect that you're going to have computer systems that are hacked, or computer systems that always need to be rebooted, or when you update and you expect things to get better, they oftentimes get a little bit worse in some way. So in this catalog, what we're trying to do is just make things that might have been, that you might think of as spectacular, and just make them seem like quite everyday and ordinary, whatever it might be. So artificial intelligence, different new forms of retail, different kinds of, you know, sometimes silly seeming kinds of things that are sort of presented because the means of production or certain desires that we don't necessarily anticipate as being there suddenly come into existence. So the idea of, you know, the selfie, like, would have been maybe perhaps something that might not have been anticipated, but we find these new social rituals come into existence. And people want to engage them. And so this is the kind of sensibility that we're trying to develop through the catalog, just sort of chock full of stuff, some stuff that maybe seems like it's actually quite useful or interesting, some things that anticipate an unexpected development in social practices or social rituals, some kinds of things that are completely outside of the norms that we might expect today, but somehow in this future they pop into something that from our vantage point seems incomprehensible. But if you kind of tweak the way in which you represent it, especially in something like an ordinary product catalog, then it all of a sudden takes on a different level of significance. So we're hoping to have the catalog done, like I said, in a couple of weeks, and then we'll be putting them on the Near Future Laboratory, our new shop, where we sort of sell little things that we are interested in, or things that we've made or produced or published, as another way to develop a conversation around a bunch of different topics. In this case, we've just sort of been very interested in making the extraordinary into something that's quite ordinary. And a lot of it is just sort of an approach that we're now, you know, learning quite a bit about and how to produce these kinds of things. Again, I'm sorry that I'm not able to be there, but I hope that this is some way helps the conversation and gives us some material to think about. And this is my contribution. Enjoy the rest of the seminar. Thank you.
Yes, our idea now was, Julian Bleeker is not here, maybe that people who do not know him can ask others who do know him about the project, or maybe that is a fallacy on our side. Thank you.
impactful or meaningful?
I mean, it's, you know, he describes, is this even on? Describes the process of, I was talking to Maya about this yesterday. I mean, in the case of the newspaper, and I think also in the case of the catalog that he just showed, my understanding of that is that it came from the SkyMall, you know, kind of airline seat back premise. And I think there was a fairly similar approach that we took with the newspaper, which was instead of kind of going in scenarios first, we sort of deconstructed the real world, you know, framework, the wireframe of whatever this artifact is. And in their case, a seatback catalog full of trash, and in our case, a newspaper full of, you know, ephemeral information. I mean, trash in a good way, if you've ever seen SkyMall. But, I mean, in the most endearing way possible. But it wasn't really a conscious thought, at least on the newspaper from our part, but we had to start with that frame and then find a way to kind of map the scenarios against the structure that it dictated, and probably the same way that some of the transmedia projects, you know, you have story arcs that Peter talked about, you've got the kind of mechanics of an arc that Trevor's talked about, and you find a way to fit the way that we were taught to think about scenarios into that framework. And then things like advertising and the products that sit either within the stories or the catalog or the adverts in the paper itself kind of get thought up and interweave in that larger storyline. You know, what would this kind of world suggest? The Manchester beer, the working class beer, was kind of a counterpoint to the fact that we were talking a lot about how data was going to change and technology was going to change the sport. And then we, you know, we threw in this very kind of retroactive, you know, thing about working class artisanal beer, you know, blue collar product in a world that's very kind of shiny and advanced. The genomics thing was a case of having a storyline that we were thinking about for an article that more naturally branched into a piece of advertising. And it, you know, you have a quick brainstorm and up comes the idea. You do a little searching, you find that companies are already kind of working on that at a professional level. That, you know, there are outfits doing something similar to what I think we call it, like Chironic Genomics or something, was the company that made the cereal. But you're just pushing it a little bit further down into consumer level product. So it's a very different way of extruding things out of scenarios. Then the scenarios themselves become much more freeform, sort of speaking to what Nick and Maya were talking about this morning, kind of getting away from the very rigid, prescribed, you know, kind of Rand Corporation, Shell, GBN, you know, 2x2 way of thinking of the world, and getting into more fluid and often more forking thought processes that allow the creativity to really get into the story. And so, you know, you've got the structure of a newspaper or catalog to come back to as a place to put it when it's over. But there was no cluster of post-it notes that generated that thing. So it does allow you a lot of flexibility to kind of come in and out of formality as you see fit. Trying to think of anything else. But also kind of, you know, taking these things like the catalog or the newspaper and deconstructing a genre and kind of what it represents itself as an artifact from the future. I mean, SkyMall is kind of selling a kind of, you know, advanced lifestyle in a way of convenience and simplicity and beauty and aesthetics and whatnot, and yet, you know, Brookstone catalog if you're North American, or, you know, there are all these sort of different little platforms. It doesn't have to be an iPhone ad, or it doesn't have to be, you know, a new Audi. It could be lots of different things are selling the future to you on variable levels and platforms. So finding those out in the world and starting to pick them apart so it doesn't just rely on being something delivered on an iPad or coming at you from a hovering vehicle, you know, that it's, that kind of mundaneness, mundanity, if this is a word, and going out. I mean, you could walk from here to the hotel and probably find a half dozen, if you really just stuck your head in a few doorways, alternate platforms you could begin to use as a delivery mechanism for provocative futures that make people think about things. An orange in a box out here on the street, you know, there's a barcode on it probably. Just simple things that are in everyday life, so.